Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We're talking about terrorism and the blood of Jesus. It is a protection against the terrorist Satan. I've seen it in Israel. We saw it in Oklahoma City. We have seen terrorism at 9/11. There is a terrorist, Satan, who is striking with great wrath because he knows his time is short. The Bible specifically tells us how to overcome him with the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by committed lives. I was so pleased with the brave Oklahomans and the witness of their faith broadcast to the world from the buckle of the Bible Belt when he struck Oklahoma City. What the devil meant for evil definitely cost his kingdom. And then again, we've seen, it was devastating, 9/11. A blinking sign. One day, years ago, the Lord made this scripture come alive to me. Philippians 1:28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Token. There it is again. Token. The token of the blood on the doorpost. The token of the red string in the window. The token of the rainbow. And now here in Philippians 1:28, in nothing terrified, no thing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. The Bible instructs us not to be terrified by our adversaries. It further specifies in no thing, in nothing. Just by doing this, we send the devil, our adversaries, quote, an evident token. Remember, token means sign. An evident token is one easily seen. Just by not being terrified by our adversaries, it sends to them an easily read sign. A sign of what? Of their perdition, the Bible says. Perdition means doom. The day the Lord revealed this to my spirit, I saw it like this. When we are not terrified, it's like we put up a huge blinking neon sign in the face of Satan and his demons. You're doomed, you're doomed. The message flashes. And that's not all it says. The Bible says it is to them, quote, an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation. It also blinks, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. You're doomed, you're doomed, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Satan and demons are not all-knowing. They don't know your heart. They can only read your countenance. And they are observing you. The original Hebrew of the following verse shows us that. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. This is one of my favorite psalms, so I read it often. When I got a new Bible recently, it had a reference to the last phrase that my previous Bible did not. It gives the original Hebrew of mine enemies. It says, those who observe me. I ran a reference and found this is in the original Hebrew of other scriptures. What kinds of signs are you sending to those who observe you? If you are not afraid, they won't stay around to read. You're doomed. You're doomed. When you get up in the morning, send the right signals. Don't say, oh, I'm so depressed. Those who observe you will laugh with glee and stay around to feed your mind with fear and sadness. Say, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad for this new day. Thank you, Father, for your great plan of redemption. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I place the token of the blood between me and mine and all the power of the enemy. Those who observe you will flee as if in terror. Going about safely in these last days. We never take a group to Israel unless we know it is the will of God and that we have the timing of God. Quote, There is no safer place than the center of God's will, I wrote to my parents some time ago, to assure them after terrorists trained in Libya attempted to enter Israel from the sea near the school where I study. They had come in boats, and they came up on the seashore, and they were coming in under cover of darkness, and they were in these little boats. They'd come in a big boat, and they were in little boats, and they were going to come up on the coastline, and our school was right on the coast. So my mother was so concerned about it and worried, and I wrote about a letter back to her, and I said, "Mother, there's no safer place than the center of God's will, and I know I'm in it." About that same time, a crazed man had killed several people in a post office in Edmond, Oklahoma. You would have thought the safest place in the world was the post office in Edmond, but no, the safest place is the center of God's will. Every morning when we start our day on the tour bus, we read aloud together Psalm 91. Every verse is alive with meaning to us, and we trust its provision implicitly. Then we quote Revelation 12:11, and we place ourselves under the protective power of the blood of the Lamb. Usually we sing the chorus of that old song, "Under the Blood." Years ago, a great man of God, so much like Jesus, Brother Philip Halverson, said to my husband in an airport when Kent was feeling the pressures of travel, "Isn't it good to go about in the service of the Lord?" I can just hear Brother Halverson. He was Norwegian and had a Norwegian accent. "Isn't it good to go about in the service of the Lord?" Instantly, Kent was at peace. He was carrying a large amount of money, and he calmed and went into peace. That's how I see my life and the lives of all committed Christians. We go about in the service of the Lord. How wonderful it is that we can go about under the blood. But we must display that token with our mouths. You can walk around the place where you work or go to school and say, "In the name of Jesus, I draw a bloodline around this place Satan cannot cross. I believe no terrorist can cross a bloodline drawn in faith." Put up the right signs. Put up the token of the blood. Put up the sign of faith. Put up the token of your countenance that's unafraid. Jesus is coming soon. When Jesus gave the signs preceding his first coming, he instructed us, "And when these things begin to come to pass, when he was here in his first coming, he gave us these signs, this concerning his second coming. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Hallelujah! Jesus is coming soon. Satan is headed to the pit. And until that day, we will overcome him with the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimonies, and the commitment of our lives to God. Thank God for illumination into the power in the blood of Jesus and how to access that power in our everyday lives by pleading the blood. Defining to plead. Now, some people, they'll argue about it. So I went into the Bible and the legalities of it. Listen to this. Pleading the blood has nothing to do with begging. Pleading the blood has nothing to do with mechanical repetition of empty words. Plead in the scriptures is legal terminology. Before we consider the why and how of pleading the blood, we will define our terms to agree with the Bible's use of plead, plead my cause, and other such phrases. Reev, or reev, R-E-E-V. One Hebrew word translated plead is the root word reev. In its verbal form, it means, and that's what the root is, always a verb, it means to strive, contend, to conduct a legal case. In its noun form, it means dispute, controversy, case at law. It is variously translated as the emphasized words in this scripture. 1 Samuel 24:15. "The Lord, therefore, be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and," quote, "plead my cause, and deliver me out of thy hand. That's the word, reev or reeve. 1 Samuel 25:39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil." How interesting this word is, quote, "hath pleaded the cause and hath kept from evil." Just what we do in pleading our only case, the blood of Jesus. We plead our cause and we're kept from evil. Job 13:6. "Hear now my reasoning and hearken to," quote, "the pleading of my lips." This again is Re'ev. The book of Job is filled with the imagery of the courtroom. The need of a mediator, an arbitrator between God and Job is the theme. We have only used one verse from Job, but there are many. Psalm 35:1, "Plead my cause, Re'ev, with them that strive with me." Psalm 43:1, "Judge me, O God, and Re'ev, plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and just man." Psalm 74:22, "Arise, O God, plead thine own cause, Re'ev. Remember how the foolish man reproached thee daily." Psalm 119:154, "Plead my cause and deliver me." Proverbs 22:22 and 23, "Rob not the poor, neither oppress the afflicted, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them." Proverbs 23:11, "For their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee." Isaiah 1:17 and 18, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." Isaiah 3:13, "The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people." Isaiah 50:6 through 8, "I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And verse 8 says, this is concerning the Lord, "Who will contend with me?" Plead. Here it is. This is prophetic of Jesus and his triumphant death and subsequent justification. He says, "Who will conduct a legal case or a suit with me?" The answer, of course, is that no case or adversary can stand against him. Therefore, our case, the blood of his cross, is sure. Jeremiah 50:31, "Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon." Lamentations 3:58, "The Lord pleaded my cause." Micah 7:8 and 9, "Plead my cause, Shaphat." The marvelous scripture below uses the Hebrew word Shaphat with a lexicon meaning plead or have controversy together. Isaiah 50:43, "I am he that blotted out your transgressions. I won't remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together." Now we know what the Bible means by plead. Let us proceed to learning how to plead our case by pleading the blood. And that will be for tomorrow. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom Unto.